The Garden Question is a podcast for people that love designing, building, and growing smarter gardens that work. Listen in as we talk with successful garden designers, builders, and growers, discovering their stories along with how they think, work, and grow. This is your next step in creating a beautiful, year-round, environmentally connected, low-maintenance, and healthy, thriving outdoor space. It doesn't matter if you're a beginner or an expert, there will always be something inspiring when you listen to the Garden Question podcast. Hello, I'm your host, Craig McManus. In this episode, we explore with Kim Haliak the power of garden walks in fostering community connections, boosting local economies, and enhancing neighborhood aesthetics. Kim is the co-founder of Experience Memphis Gardens. Her inspiration is leading a city to discover how to beautify outdoor spaces, learning how gardening can revolutionize urban environments, and uniting a community. She discusses challenges, long-term goals, and the profound impact of garden walks on altering perceptions of communities, enhancing pride, and fostering a sense of empowerment among its residents. This is episode 156, Roots of Revitalization, the Transformative Power of Memphis Garden Walks, with Kim Haliak on the Garden Question Podcast. Kim, what is a garden walk?
Oh my gosh, a garden walk is a wonderful experience. If you've never gone on one before, imagine going into people's personal yards, looking at their gardens, seeing their personality and talking about plants, getting free plants. It is a wonderful opportunity to get inspiration, then go home and make your own space beautiful.
What value does a garden walk bring to a city?
That is a long answer there. I could go on for a long time, but I think there are many fabulous benefits to a garden walk. The first one being is that it builds community. As you tour garden walk and you meet the gardeners, fabulous conversations arise about what is this plant and how do you grow it? The gardeners themselves get to know each other. They get to know the people in their own neighborhoods. That is a value that you just cannot put a measure on, especially now when everybody's become so isolated. Other benefits to a garden walk is economically. Garden tourism is huge all across the United States. It brings enormous money to a town. People go to garden walks. They spend their money. They spend the weekend in a town. Not only the money that they spend, but as a homeowner, I don't even want to tell you how much I've spent on my yard since I've been on the walk for 9 years now, getting things repainted, putting in new sidewalk, fixing my driveway, screening in my carport, all of these things that I needed to do, but would I have done them if I didn't have a reason to? I think that is a huge benefit to a city. Also, if you think about it, it's not costing the city any money. People are putting their own hard-earned money, time, and effort into fixing up their gardens. If suddenly everybody on your block is fixing up their yards for visitors, it changes the whole flavor of a neighborhood. It can just grow all across the city. Those are the three main benefits that I see to a garden walk.
Now, you're the co-founder of the Experience Memphis Gardens. What inspired you to start the Experience Memphis Garden Walk?
My husband and I were avid travelers all throughout the United States and abroad. I would drag him to every garden-related thing there was, from botanical gardens to garden speakers and any garden walks I could go to. I've been to numerous garden walks in Seattle, Portland, Pittsburgh, and D.C. They were great. Chicago, 20 gardens on tour. It was wonderful. But when I went to the Buffalo Garden Walk, it changed how I thought about walks, because up until that point, it was like a nice diversion. Oh, let's go to this neighborhood. Let's look at these lovely gardens. Let's go home and get inspired. But when I went to Buffalo 20 years ago, they had the largest garden walk in the United States. They had about 300 gardens on tour. And I remember standing at a corner with a map, trying to figure out, should I go this way? Should I go this way? Then it hit me, Kim, it doesn't matter which direction you go. There are 15 gardens this way. There are 20 this way. There are 15 here. That's when I realized, garden walks can be more than just pretty gardens. They can actually make an impact. Came home with that idea. The year that I was retiring from teaching, I said, oh my gosh, I need to find a garden club to join. Our neighborhood did not have one. So I started our garden club. We decided that we did not want to be an eat and drink club. We really wanted to do garden projects. With garden projects, you need money. We decided to have our first garden walk. We had 23 gardens on tour. That was the beginning of this huge thing that we put on now, 9 years later.
How have you seen Memphis change in the last 9 years as a result of the garden walk?
Starting in our own neighborhood, it was just garden club members' gardens. Over time, as we have invited other people in our neighborhood to get on board, it's become more than a garden walk. It's become this community party. I live in a very vibrant, historic neighborhood. It's one of the most popular neighborhoods in Memphis to live in. We have our annual festival in September that brings 130,000 people to our neighborhood. But this garden walk is more personal. People take it as a way to invite all their friends to come that day, and they have a party in the backyard. It has built a stronger community. People know each other now in a way that they didn't before. It has inspired people to be more creative. I love that I live in a quirky neighborhood. The garden walk has given people permission to be even quirkier. I feel like for our neighborhood, the garden walk has allowed us to be more of what we already were. Then that in turn, as we have brought visitors from other neighborhoods to come look at our garden walk, they have said, wow, I never thought of that before. You're starting to see more color and more quirkiness in other parts of Memphis. I think those are the reasons why people come and visit a place. They want to come someplace that's different than what they have at home. Then they want to go home and feel inspired.
So it sounds like you're changing the city. Am I hearing you right that the walk has expanded beyond the original neighborhood?
It really has. Last year, we decided to go citywide. We threw out an invitation to the whole city and said, show us your gardens, really not having any idea what kind of response we were going to get. I was pleasantly surprised when about 120 people said, we want to show our gardens. There was no rhyme or reason to the neighborhoods. Then I was scrambling a little bit to figure out how are we going to schedule all this. I really didn't want to turn anybody away. We came up with an idea that Memphis is wonderful from April to the end of June, and then it gets unbearably hot. Then it gets nice again in the fall. We decided that we would take 26 days from May 18th through June 30th, and every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday would be a different neighborhood. Last year was really trying to figure out how do we put these pieces together and make this work. This year, we're on our second year. Friday is the deadline for people to sign up, and we're at 244 gardens this year so far.
Wow.
It's been really interesting.
There's no limitations on location, and there's no limitations on the garden. You just have to be willing.
Yes. I think that's a really important concept I'd like to spend a minute on. I model or walk after Buffalo. I'm a firm believer in don't reinvent the wheel. Since they were the best, I decided from the very beginning, I was going to look at what they had done. I was going to pick the things from Buffalo that would work for Memphis. They do not vet their gardens. I love that idea because I think many garden walks are the very best gardens in a city. Oftentimes, those gardens are only on the tour one time. What is the incentive as a gardener to keep up what you're doing if you're only going to be on the tour one time, or you are the best of the best and no one else qualifies. My desire is to invite anyone who loves gardening at whatever level they are to get involved. Because what I have learned is when they get on the tour, then every year they keep upping their game. Isn't that the way to change a neighborhood fast?
How do you motivate them to self-motivate?
I think that they're all motivated because when you know people are coming to visit, right? Everybody's running around like crazy trying to weed and put mulch down and get new flowers and that. I think the motivation is there. I think the hard part is convincing people that what they have is worthy for other people to see. I have found that people who have the nicest gardens are the most difficult ones to get to put their garden on the tour. They always see something wrong with their garden. My standard answer now is the average homeowner in any city, Memphis included, has very mundane or underappreciated gardens. Even if your garden is not perfect, it is 100% better than the average person on your street. If you can inspire them with what you're doing in your yard, then they will do likewise. I think the average person who's not a gardener just doesn't realize how simple it can be. Then once they see gardens, they get inspired.
How are you taking the non-gardener and they're becoming participants in the tour?
I'll give you an example of one in my neighborhood. I have a lovely neighbor on the next block over who had this fabulous pistachio and green painted house. I just loved her house. Every year I would tease her and I would say, Lindley, is this the year you're going to get on the walk? 2 years ago, she said to me, she said, Kim, every year you ask me to be on the walk. She said, I'm not a gardener. But it made me feel so good that you were asking me that I decided this year I want to be on the walk. She hired somebody to come help her put her garden in. I have to tell you, 2 years ago, we had the hottest summer on record, or at least it felt that way to me. Nobody's garden looked very good in July and August. Her garden was like the best one on the street. She wasn't even a gardener. Since then, she has had some health issues. I said to her, would you prefer not to be on the walk? She said, oh no, I look forward to this every year. I think it is possible to bring non-gardeners to the table.
How about people that rent their homes? Are you seeing that they participate?
They are participating. In my neighborhood, two blocks over, is a wonderful gardener named Chris Harris. He rents. When I saw his garden, I was like, oh my gosh, why are you not on the walk? Because I put out a mass calling to the whole neighborhood every year. Of course, he didn't think his garden was all that grand. He says that about 95% of everything in his yard he found on the side of the road. His garden is so inspiring. He has since convinced 4 people on his street to take up gardening. Now, mind you, they were not gardeners, but he helped them get started. Now there's a sense of pride. I'm so happy for him because he's getting recognition for what he does. His garden is one of the most popular ones on the tour. It's not very big, but it's so creative. He's so engaging. And you have all those other gardens around him now that he has helped work on. It is very possible. I think if you're not a gardener, you don't know where to start. But if you get invited to a party, then suddenly you want to learn. You want to do something.
You've already given us some details about how many gardens you have. What all is going on? Is there a fee to it? And how do you get to the different gardens?
There is. I would love to do what Buffalo does and not charge, but they've been doing theirs for 30 years and they have huge sponsorship. We're just starting. Our tickets are $26 for 26 days. So you can see as many or as few gardens as you want. It starts officially on May 18th and 19th with the Cooper Young Garden Walk. Our neighborhood is the signature walk. We will have close to 100 gardens. Besides our gardens, we'll have art vendors. We'll have educational booths. Some of the yards will have musicians in them. We have a fabulous shuttle bus called the Backbeat Shuttle Tour. They will be taking you throughout the neighborhood. You won't get dropped off at every garden, but you can get dropped off at a quadrant, see those gardens, get back on the bus, go to another quadrant. What I love about my neighborhood is we have about 23 restaurants on two main streets. You can stop for lunch, then go look at some more gardens, then come back for dinner. We even have some breweries in our neighborhood. Ours is the Signature Walk. Then every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday through June 30th, every day is a different neighborhood. We have very established neighborhoods with tree canopies. We will have some gardens downtown. Memphis just opened up the fabulous Memphis River Park. Oh my gosh, it is just wonderful. Thousands of native plants have been planted. All kind of family-friendly activities. We'll have an aquaponics farm. We even have enlarged our footprint. I was thinking Memphis, but the county next door to us asked if they could participate. So we have 13 farms that are going to be on the walk with chickens and bees and wormeries and outdoor canning kitchens, tortoises, goats, vegetable gardens, koi ponds. So many different experiences. We'll have a CBD oil production tour. We'll have some community gardens. We'll have some school gardens. It's a little bit of everything. Whatever your garden taste is, or maybe you don't know what your garden taste is, you're going to get a chance to see so many different things that you'll come away and you'll say, oh, that's what I want to do.
What are you hoping to accomplish with the tour? You've already spoken about garden tourism, but what is the bigger picture?
I'd like to see things changed about my city. I think everybody does. I think every city across the country is fighting litter. We have blight, right? We have neighborhoods that are in decline. How do you change those big problems? I don't have an answer for that. I don't think there's one solution, but I do know that gardening is a way to get people to think about things differently, because it is not shaming people. It's not some expensive program that the city has to put in place. Maybe as my experience as a teacher, I feel like if you want to change people's behavior, if you want to get them on board on something, help them celebrate something. If you come at it from a point of view of focusing on the positive things, then you can change some of the negative things. In my mind, my goal as we grow this walk, as we bring in tourists from all outside the city who are coming and oohing and aahing people's gardens and creativity, then the homeowners are like, oh my gosh, this was the best day of my life or the best weekend. You wait till next year. Wait till you see what I do then. As we do that and you get more beauty on a street, then people begin to feel more connected. If you are focusing on beauty, then of course people are going to notice the things that aren't beautiful and they're going to want to fix them. It's about growing community pride. It's about inviting people to the garden table at whatever way they want to come at it. I don't think there's any one right or wrong way to garden. There are cities across the world, Singapore, Pittsburgh, Vancouver, places that actually bill themselves as garden cities and are bringing so much tourism to it because they're greening up their city. They're thinking about buildings that have gardens on them. And how do we cool our cities down? How do we bring more wildlife back? How do we sustain our planet? The cities that are already doing that, they have an economic advantage that other cities don't have. Why not Memphis? This is a window into that. We get people to start thinking about their outdoor spaces. We get them to start beautifying. Initially, I think people focus on the beauty part of it. But even myself as a gardener, as I've gotten more into gardening, now I'm starting to get more nuanced with my plants, trying to figure out what plants are good for our environment. and which ones aren't. It's an education process. Get people to the table, let them have fun. As the garden wall grows, begin to educate people even more on what are the best plants for Zone 8A for Memphis. Can we be better off using more native plants? And then the larger picture, bring in tourism. Then think even more long-term, what are the things we can do to green our city and make it more sustainable?
Are you having success introducing the garden walk into communities that you don't normally think would be a garden space?
I do, and it's slow, but I gave a talk last year in a neighborhood that I think most of us would think of as a bit depressed. It was on curb appeal. When I drove there, I was thinking, oh gosh, I don't know if I've chosen the right topic for this neighborhood. This doesn't seem like a good topic, but I gave it. And the response was so great among the members who were there. People came up to me afterwards and said, Kim, would you come to my garden and give me ideas? I had to immediately say, I'm no expert on this, but sure, I would be happy to come and give you ideas. Those neighborhoods are on the walk and they only have a couple gardens so far, but that's okay. It always takes one or two people to start the whole process. I anticipate in a couple years' time, those neighborhoods that just have a few gardens now are going to have 20. It's really just showing people what's possible. Then it really does grow.
Are you finding something common about gardeners?
I think that everybody wants to live in a beautiful space. I think sometimes if we drive through a part of town that we might feel a little wary or might be discouraged by the appearance. The reality is that everybody wants beauty. I think sometimes putting a spotlight on the people in any neighborhood who are beautifying is what we need to do. Don't focus on those homes. Focus on the people who are already beautifying. I'll give you an example of a little initiative that our garden club did that has really paid off. I recommend this to any neighborhood. We would give out Yard of the Month signs every month to the businesses and to the homeowners. And one of our garden club members said, I've lived here 20 years and I've never gotten a sign. I thought about it and I thought there are 2,000 homes in our neighborhood and there are only 12 months in a year. So it's very conceivable that you could have a great yard and never get one. We created little signs that say beauty grows here. It's just a little Coroplast 9x12 sign. We bought 100 of them with the idea that we would give them out to people in the neighborhood, whoever was beautifying. You could be a new gardener. You could be an established gardener. Then our thought was in the fall, we would collect them back up and give them to different people. No, nobody wanted to give their sign back. They were like, oh, I'm so excited. I got this sign. We had to go out and buy 100 more. It really showed me how much people appreciate that somebody has noticed. We have taken that idea now and we have funded some other neighborhoods and helped them buy signs, created signs specifically for their neighborhood with the name of their neighborhood. The one neighborhood is Fox Meadows, so we have a fox on the picture with flowers and the neighbors absolutely love it. My philosophy is celebrate the good that you want to see in a neighborhood, the gardens that you want to see, the effort that people are making. And if you do that, those people will go all out and give you even more. They just wanted somebody to notice.
You're investing in the community with the proceeds from the walk.
Yes, we are. This year, we took $10,000 and we have created what we call See Why We Beautify grants. Any of the neighborhoods that participated last year on the walk, they can apply for up to $1,000 for whatever beautification ideas they have for their community. We really want to be the seed money that gets other neighborhoods doing things. Four neighborhoods have applied for grants. They have applied to do a pollinator garden at a school. One neighborhood has applied for Beauty Grows Here signs. Many of the neighborhoods want to enhance the gateway into their neighborhood with plantings. We're thrilled. Our hope is that every year, the more money that we make on the tour, the more money we have to go back into beautification. I am challenged by Buffalo because in Buffalo's Garden Walk in 30 years has given away $100,000. So that would mean so much to me if we could do the same in Memphis, because every neighborhood has a different flavor. They have different needs. Nobody knows a neighborhood better than the people who live there. Give them seed money to do what they want. Oftentimes, when cities give out grants, they go to big organizations. If you're somebody with an idea, how do you get it going? What we really want to do is fund those little ideas that can really have a big impact versus some big thing that can get funding from someplace else.
The seed money for a project, are you seeing those projects carried on to grander or bigger or more things that don't have a grant from you, but they have figured out a way to get the money?
Yes, because this was only our second year giving money to other organizations. Up until last year, the money we raised was for our own neighborhood. But we've had such great luck funding our own neighborhood projects that other neighborhoods are all coming and asking us to speak to their groups, because as you Cooper Youngians, you've got all these great ideas that you've done. How have you done it? We have a level 3 arboretum in our neighborhood. We have planted 1,700 native plants along 7 blocks of hell strips along a very busy street. We funded 7 murals. As people are beginning to see what we've done in our neighborhood, they're coming and saying, can you help us figure out how to do that? Our goal is, as they get this money and create these projects like we have, they have buy-in. It's their project. They need to maintain it. They need to take it in the direction they want it to go.
It takes a lot of work to put on a project like this and take on a grand vision that you're executing on. What are some of the challenges that you have?
A lot of challenges. One of the biggest challenges for me is getting the word out. Memphis is not a garden walk town. Cities in the north, I'm from Pittsburgh, garden walks have been around for a long time. People are very familiar with them. In the south, much less. Sometimes people imagine it's a bunch of little old ladies doing a flower show or some fancy homes or something. I really want to dispel people of that. I want people to think, wow, what a fun way to spend my day. Let's go tour a neighborhood I've never been in or one I have not been in a long time. Let's look at the gardens. I think getting the word out and getting people to understand that a garden walk is a very worthwhile, fun activity to do. Then, of course, there are so many distractions on our time between social media, screens, and information overload, that to get out about our garden walk and get the people here is my biggest challenge. All of your listeners out there, I want you to come to Memphis to the biggest and best garden walk in the South.
What's your long range goals for the walk?
I'd like to keep continuing to grow it, but I also would like each neighborhood to take on their own neighborhood walk. At some point, I see Experience Memphis Gardens, our main job being one of promotion, but allowing each garden walk to grow in its own flavor. Some of the neighborhoods this year are bringing in food trucks. They're bringing in vendors. One neighborhood has a railroad garden that they're going to put on. For me, I want to see each neighborhood take ownership of their walk, begin to work on it without any help from our organization, and really create something that fits them. Then we will spend our efforts more on the promotion in that. Right now, we're doing both. We're putting on our own walk. We're helping them with theirs. We're doing promotion. It has been a very busy year. On top of that, next year, I'm very happy to say the Garden Fling, I don't know if your listeners know what that is, but it is an organization that meets yearly. Next year will be the 15th year. They go to a different city across the United States and they tour exquisite gardens. They are esteemed writers for Fine Garden magazine. They have garden TV shows, podcasts. They do blogs. They're Instagrammers and influencers. They're book authors and publishers. Every year they go to a different city. Next year, June 5th through the 8th, they will be coming to Memphis to tour our very best gardens. I'm really excited because that can put us on a map.
What advice do you have for others that want to start a walk in their city?
I think go visit a couple garden walks. Definitely take a look at them. If you can, go to the Buffalo Garden Walk. I'm their biggest supporter and think that everybody, if you love gardens, go to Buffalo the last weekend in July and see what a phenomenal garden walk it is. Then come home, start small. 20 gardens is great. Don't be discouraged. In the beginning, there were a lot of naysayers who said this would never work in Memphis. I think you have to ignore them. You just plug along. Don't be afraid to reach out to people who are not in garden clubs. There are so many fabulous gardeners in any city. I find that going up to a yard, knocking on the door, talking with them, "Oh my gosh, I love your garden. Can I see it?" And you know what? Most gardeners absolutely are thrilled to be able to talk about gardening and invite people to be on the walk. Do it. You will have so much fun. You will meet so many wonderful people. I always laugh when I taught 34 years to special needs students, but nothing prepared me for marketing a garden walk. I have learned how to do WordPress. I have learned all about social media. I've learned to give talks and interviews. It is wonderful. Gardens are the best thing in the world, and gardeners are the best people in the world. When you put the two of them together, it's a wonderful life.
Oh, yeah. This would be a good time to tell us your website.
The website is experiencememphisgardens.org. And we are a 501c3 nonprofit. Check us out. The concept of the power of a garden walk, to me, it's more than just beautifying. It can create quick transformation of a city. Mm-hmm. It's how can you get things done fast? To me, a garden walk gets things done fast in a way that city policies and everything else wouldn't.
I think that's really good because I see you're not only changing the visual and the aesthetics mm-hmm. and the environmental, but you're changing people's perception of their communities mm-hmm. and you're changing minds. What do you think?
I agree. I think that to me, the power of garden walks is that it's more than just beautifying your outdoor space for your own personal enjoyment. Suddenly, you are thinking of gardening as this community event. It's not a personal thing anymore. It's all these gardens together in a community have now changed the flavor of a community. It has become more beautiful. And in becoming more beautiful, people have pride. When you have pride, you begin to connect with other people in your community. And of course, when you have pride in your connection, there's less crime. There is less blight. Suddenly, properties that would have been ignored before are now seen as, "Ooh, I want to live in this neighborhood. This is where the garden walk is." Look at how things have changed. Fast change. My husband used to say all the time, "Patience, grasshopper, patience," but I have no patience whatsoever. I want everything done yesterday. To me, garden walks can really transform things quickly. It doesn't require city intervention. It doesn't require getting some approval for something. People have the chance to be change makers themselves. Once you give people the power to make changes, then they feel more empowered in other ways. Also, I think as time goes on, When I first started gardening, I was worried about the beauty. Now I think about the wildlife. I think about which plants are good for my community. Is it going to be invasive? If I give this plant away, am I putting a bad plant in somebody else's hands? Can I educate, use my platform to educate people on the best plants for our city and for not using too much water? It's a great educational tool. As a teacher, I always want to bring education into the mix. I want to give people permission to let their creativity fly in their garden. You can love manicured, beautiful gardens, but we also love quirky, wild, native plant gardens. We don't judge your garden. Welcome to the garden party.
What do you find most rewarding about gardening?
I love gardening. I am a lazy gardener. I do not like weeding in that. I love beautiful spaces. I love my garden space because I love to entertain. If you come to my garden, you're going to see an urban garden with lots of entertainment areas. I love hardscaping. That's my strength. If you come and you look at my plants, you're going to say, Kim, I'm not a plants person. I put things in that I like. I really like what the space for entertaining and being with friends and the community that you get from gardening. I love all the other gardeners that I meet. I love talking about plants, but I do not know the Latin names of many plants. I would be the wrong person to ask about that. I love sharing plants. I just love the garden community.
Is there a particular garden style or technique that you're excited about?
I love low maintenance gardening. I'm 67. My husband had a stroke a few years ago. He's in a wheelchair. My front and back gardens are limestone, which I love. Limestone is like the best garden material for me. I love raised beds. If you come in my yard, in both my front and back garden, you're going to see raised beds. But I want my raised beds to have style. So I don't have rectangular boxes in the middle of my yard. The raised beds actually go along the perimeter. People love my yard. I have seating areas. When we have musicians play on our front porch, neighbors can come over and sit in the garden. I love native plants. I love fragrant plants. Anything with fragrance is to die for. A thing I wish I would have discovered when I was young is ground covers. Good ground covers suppress weeds. I'm all for anything that makes my life easier in the garden.
What do you wish people would do differently when designing, building, or growing a garden?
I really dislike big front manicured yards. I am not a grass lover at all. When I give talks, one of the things I suggest to people is we always put foundation plants against the house. If you're sitting on your front porch, half the time you can't even see the foundation plants. When you look out, you see a lawn of grass, and then you see the traffic on the street. I would love to see people put shrubs and trees at the front of their yards and create these wonderful little enclosed gardens so that when you're walking by or driving by, you don't see this big swath of grass. You see all these wonderful plantings. That would be my choice. That's going to be a hard thing to sell in America because many people love their grass lawns. I think it's coming. Another thing I saw in Buffalo that I loved, they took all the health strips, not all of them, but many of them, and people planted native plants. They planted very manicured little gardens. They put benches out there and artwork. I remember thinking, this is like a public art gallery for everybody walking by. There were some streets where 10 houses in a row had planted up the health strips. So that when you walk down the sidewalk, it was so happy. You just felt like you were in this wonderful garden and you didn't even notice all the cars that were parked right next to the sidewalk. It was really enchanting. I would love to see more of that.
Now, you've mentioned health strips several times, and some people may be out there and saying, what is a health strip? Educate us on that.
That's that skinny piece of grass next to the sidewalk that you don't own, but the city expects you to maintain it. Most people either put grass or it becomes very weeded and they don't maintain it. The idea of actually taking it and making it part of your yard really would go a long way to enhancing, I think, the beauty of any neighborhood.
It's between the curb and sidewalk, typically.
The curb and the sidewalk, yeah. Yes.
What's a garden myth you'd like to smash?
That you have to have a green thumb. I think anybody can garden. I think they just haven't found the right plant. I am finally able to grow them. I think that gardening is for anybody. It does not take any money at all. You can start with a pack of seeds and scratch up some dirt in your yard, or it can be very elaborate. I think that sometimes people think that fabulous gardens take a lot of work. If anything, I think the grass lawns take way more work. Once you take the grass lawn and you put in trees and shrubs and ground covers and plants and pine straw mulch, you're good to go. You can go a long time before you have to get out there and weed.
What's your earliest garden memory?
I grew up in the heart of Pittsburgh in a very steel mill little town called Lawrenceville. Not much in the way of gardens or really anything. It was pretty bleak. Then we moved to the suburbs. Then we moved to a 21-acre farm. That is really when my gardening life began. We did not farm for a living. With seven children, we had a huge vegetable garden. In my mind, it was about a football field large, but I'm probably exaggerating. We grew vegetables, we canned, we had an apple orchard, and my stepfather subscribed to Organic Gardening Magazine. I love that magazine. I would read it cover to cover, including the ads in the back. I don't know, there was something about it that I just really enjoyed. We would talk about what I read. We would talk about companion planting, and I would recommend seed versions that I had read about, and he would go out and buy them. That's probably my earliest gardening experiences. Then when I was a wife and mother, I was like a typical gardener. I would prettify the front of my house and the back, but it really wasn't for anybody other than me. I did the usual stuff. It really wasn't until maybe about 20 years ago that I started thinking less about the garden for myself and more about what it can do for my whole community. That's when my passion just took off.
Tell us a funny garden story.
I can think of two. One is when I moved into my very first home. I wanted my husband to put flower beds out for me, and he was not really keen on it. My neighbor across the street had a rototiller. He had this phenomenal garden. It was like what I aspire to. I was saying to him, oh, my husband's not really keen on this. He said, forgiveness is better than permission. He came over with his rototiller and tore up the whole front of the house and put two long, they must have been 40-foot long flower beds on either side of the walkway. I immediately proceeded to run out and get a whole bunch of plants. My husband came home from his trip and he was like, what did you do? Then I think of another time, there were two friends and I, we used to share work time with each other. If somebody had a project, we would go over and help her for a couple hours. Then when the other person had a project, we would go over to their house. The one friend wanted us to work in her yard. She had a beautiful garden. In my mind, it was not organized very well. It was just driving me crazy. So I proceeded to rearrange all kind of stuff she just had strewn everywhere. She looked at me and she said, you're not really a gardener. You're a garden art person and you're more interested in making it look right. I said, yeah, that's me.
In your gardening career, who's been your biggest influencer?
I think probably Jim Shillier from the Buffalo Garden Walk. He markets their garden walk. He was one of the founders of it. For me, I'm really interested in garden walks and the power of what they can do. I have certainly read a lot of garden books and design books, but I think that I'm most inspired by people. Another person is C.L. Farini, who puts on the Cape Cod Hydrangea Festival. I have picked both of their brains anything that can change a community is what interests me most, coming from it from that angle.
Yeah. What's your most valuable garden mistake?
I think a really great landscaper in Memphis, his name is Tom Pellet, and he was in my yard during the garden walk. He was looking around my front yard. This was 9 years ago. I said, Tom, I just don't know what I'm doing wrong. I said, my yard does not look the way I want. He looked around and he very tactfully said, Kim, pick a color scheme. My problem was I had one color scheme in the front yard and a different one in the back. He said, that's okay. You can have one color scheme in the front and one in the back. That was the best advice I could have gotten, because every time I would go to buy plants on sale, I would come home with all these random plants and then I couldn't figure out what to do with them. I think that has really helped me a lot. It keeps me from bringing home stragglers that I feel sorry for because they don't work in my yard.
What have you recently learned about horticulture or gardening?
I'm always learning something. I love to take gardening classes. I'm a perpetual student of gardening. I love to learn about native plants and all the benefits that they bring to our environment. As plants die on me, I keep pulling out those exotic ones and putting in natives. I'm not down on other plants. It's just that as time goes on, I really want things that take care of themselves, aren't too fussy.
I'd like for you to complete this statement. In my garden, I have.
In my garden, I have more seating than you can imagine. I think you can never have too many benches and chairs in a garden. I love to meander around my garden with coffee cup in hand and sit in different places and enjoy the view.
What did you learn from your garden last year that you're going to apply this year?
Last year, when we lost so many plants, I learned that I really need to be smarter about what I buy. It's so discouraging. I had 8 sweet olive trees that I'm not sure that they're going to come back. As much as I love the smell of them, I think that I'm not going to plant them again. I'm going to have to put something else in its place. Thinking, I tend to be swayed by fragrance and plants. I have to get a little savvier about which ones I put in my yard.
Tell us about your latest bout of creativity in your garden.
Oh gosh, my latest bout is I am turning a tool shed into an exercise shed. It is going on as we speak. Will I exercise more? I can't promise, but I'm going to not have a reason not to work out because it's literally going to be 15 feet from my back door.
Do you have some advice for a beginning gardener?
I think just dive in. I never like to discourage anybody. I think go buy some seeds or some plants, put them in the ground, ask other gardeners. If you want to learn how to garden, go find some gardeners in your neighborhood or a yard that really inspires you. Knock on the door, introduce yourself. I promise you, you will be given more plants than you know what to do with. You will never have to buy any plants if you don't want to. And enjoy the process. I have tried everything from vegetable gardens to herb gardens to the spiral garden. I've tried it all. Your ideas are going to change, but I've never not enjoyed it. The only thing I don't like is weeding. But if I put a good podcast on, I'm good to go.
What plant are you in love with this week?
I am in love with the new David Austin rose. I just treated myself. It is supposed to be a repeat bloomer. It is a beautiful pink, and it is supposed to be fragrant. So I will let you know at the end of summer if it lived up to it.
Any wrap-up thoughts? Bring everything to a close?
I'm so appreciative that you invited me on your show. I hope that I have inspired people to go out and look at their outdoor space in a new way, to realize that it has the power to improve your neighborhood and your community. Go outside, spend some time, make it look pretty, be creative, add your personal touches, and enjoy it.
Kim, tell us how people may connect with you.
They can reach me at my personal email, Kim Haliak, H-A-L-Y-A-K, @e.com, or they can go to experiencememphisgardens.org and contact me there.
This has been episode 156, Roots of Revitalization, the transformative power of Memphis Garden Walks, with Kim Haliak on the Garden Question Podcast. Thank you, Kim. You're awesome. The goal is that every episode is valuable and well worth your time. Please generously share the Garden Question Podcast with your friends, relatives, and neighbors. Check out our website, thegardenquestion.com, for links, resources, and where you can listen to every episode again and again. You will not want to miss a weekly episode, so please subscribe to the Garden Question Podcast with Craig McManus on your favorite listening app. Keep on designing, building, and growing a smarter garden that works.